The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
It's sort of a funny thing how if the children sing in the first service, there's a lot less children at the second service. I want to have us simply do a fun thing where we're going to not just you guys participate, but everybody participate on three, and that's one, two, three. We're going to all shout out our names, okay? Okay, so everybody at once, just your first name. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, say your name. One, two, three.
Ryan!
Michael. Okay. Did you hear everybody's names?
Nope.
Yeah, because it's kind of cool. We all are diverse. We all have different names, but that makes it kind of hard when we all say them at once. But we also all have another name, one that we all share. And so let's see if we can hear this one. This time I want you to say that your name is a child of God, because that is who you are to God. You are a child of God. So let's do that again, and on three, we're going to say child of God, okay? One, two, three. Child of God. You see how we could hear it? It was all the same. It's something that we all share as children of God. So today, after the message today, I want you guys to do what I did, but put your own name afterwards. What does that say? Hello, my name is Child of God, Michael. So, anybody who wants to make a little name tag for themselves, put it that way and remind yourself that you are a gift from God. And your mommy and daddy, they named you your first name, but God named you too as a child of God. And we take that to be a very important thing, just like we take your first name to be a very important thing too. Can you pray with me? Dear God, you named us. You love us. Help us to reach out into your world with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats, and don't forget afterwards. And anybody else who wants that name tag. So in continuing a series touching on the book of Revelation, I'm aware that this book touches on a topic where the words "the great ordeal" are used. And as we talk to those who have had conversations with people about end times and such, these words link you into prophetic stories, and some people believe then in those that they are the end of the world or that this is changing everything. But to start out not so cosmic and a little bit more in our individual life, I want to share a story that I know of when somebody kind of first realized some of the end of the world themselves. It was my son Gabriel, about age 4, and Daryl Wolf had just died. That's Karen Wolf's husband. And that's the one thing when you're a child of a pastor, you find out about death a little bit more than a normal child in that younger age. And Gabriel was in the back of my car. He had known that I had been there the morning that Daryl had died and left the house early to go and be with the family. He had learned a little bit more about this journey than most. And he sat in the back of my car as I took him to school, and he said, "Dad, I think Daryl's the first person to ever die in Fort Collins." And I thought about it. It was true, wasn't it? For that little mind, for that little boy, he had experienced death for the first time. In this powerful little moment, he had realized that there were ends. And I don't know what it all meant to him, but it was a sad moment, and also, from my perspective, a beautiful moment. But as I link it into today, I realize that there's the truth, that we are all discovering ends all through our lives in many different ways. And when somebody talks about the end of times, and when you catch glimpses of this in the book of Revelation, well, we can get caught in that pretty heavily. But then I remind you of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, where he says in verse 36, "About that hour, about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Whenever we read the book of Revelation, I feel like that's a helpful word to recall these words of Jesus speaking of the end times in Matthew. Because throughout history, in every generation, there has been those like Gabriel that have realized something about end times. But there have also been those who believe that this is the end times for all times. And they link it up, that now is the moment when everything changes, that they find these connections to Scripture. In the first century, you may imagine that the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the holiest of holies there in the middle of the town destroyed, sparked people to believe that this was a sign that this was the end. And in every generation since, I would venture to guess, something has sparked others to believe that now is the time. But I think as we take a step back, we begin to realize that no, what really was occurring was something much more close to what Gabriel had experienced. That he had experienced that end times happen, that bad things happen, that darkness is here. But here we are 2,000 years later, and we are reminded, Jesus shepherding the people of God over and over again reminds us of this. There is not an ounce you can do for your own salvation, but through the Holy Spirit, there is a tremendous amount that you can do for others' salvation. In other words, as a child of God, you are set free from worried about yourself, and now we ask you to worry about and be a gift to others in the world. You know, we all desire to make Scripture come alive. We all want to read and to have God speak to us through the Word. We all want to have that moment where we can feel connected to the big picture, to the biggest of moments, when the world will end can clearly captivate us. Because if you were connected in Scripture to that, then you would be on target, wouldn't you? And as we read texts such as this one from the book of Revelation today, you read through this and you can get caught up in the allusions to a cosmic battle. And it builds up like a series of Avenger movies. No spoilers here. And then someone says that they know when this will occur, and they draw connections to these scriptures and revelation, and I tell you, it can be captivating. But if we read this scripture through the lens of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24, and I'll repeat them because I think they're important. "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." We must pause and ask ourselves, why Jesus spoke these words at all? I believe it is because texts like this from the book of Revelation can catch us looking to the future that God has promised is already won, instead of living in the present that God has placed you into. You see, we focus on trying to figure out the end of the story without seeing that God has created us as a character within the story. And now, that is the one thing that we can control. Our own person in the story. Our own actions. Barbara Rossing, a great theologian, says, over and over again, Scripture is coming to life in our world, in our lives, but not in a series of scripted disasters and wars. The Bible comes to life most of all in life-giving moments of hope and healing, that we experience the message of the Bible and Jesus coming by opening our eyes to see God at work in the daily event of our lives. As we deal with terrible things that hit our lives and our world, we can have that moment where we say, surely, this cannot get any worse. But the danger of putting prophecy ahead of action is that we can conclude that God's actions make our actions inconsequential. The love of neighbor, the hospitality that we give to strangers, this was the early Christians' surest response to life on the brink of end times. As they thought that it was coming in their life, we see that they had good reason to believe this was it, and yet they realized what we can do is this, to love those and gather and worship God. They ministered to the poor. They visited the prisoners, those in prisons with bars and those that we know are in some sort of other prison that does not exist with bars at all. And they broke bread together and they transformed this table that is here. They transformed what was an altar of sacrifice into a table to share the sacrifice of Christ Jesus in the bread and the wine. And they sang hymns together. Early Christians, they nurtured community by their lifestyle of love and welcome. Early Christians resisted the claims of the empire. And you know what? People around them marveled at the joy of these Christians, their boldness. In the time of this writing, there were those who were losing their focus on others and the world. There were those beginning to turn away from God's calling to the world to focus on themselves and what they could do. And what we hear is that God is saying the focus is on the other because you are set free. To look for the coming of Christ and to live in urgency means to share God's love for the world today. So whether it be in our century or in a millennium to come, or in thousands of millenniums, we say in our prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Because it's what Jesus taught us to pray. It's not a prayer to take us away from the earth, but rather a prayer that reminds us that God's reign is upon us now and that it will even come through us. And this was Martin Luther's great epiphany in the 16th century, perhaps his greatest epiphany, that yes, God is at work in this world today, and God, through the Holy Spirit, is using you as a gift in this world. That when you see darkness and want to respond, that perhaps that is the Holy Spirit calling you to do so. So now we turn our mission to 2019 Fort Collins and beyond. I would have you look ahead, but not to when Christ will come again, but to the Holy Spirit that is present now. You've been set free from sin for Christ's sake. And when you feel overwhelmed by the darkness of the world, vision not a long way off, but to simply tomorrow, and ask yourself, how can I be a gift to the world around me? How can I be a gift of God in this world today? Seek a vision that we can have both collectively and individually to better ourselves as a gift of the Spirit, to use our gifts as a blessing to the world. Remind the world around you that the table is set, and it's not just for those who are gathered here today. Go out in the world. Let them know that there's more bread and wine to be shared. There's more presence of Christ in our lives than we can imagine, and we have a plan. And it's always changing, but what's not changing is the message that Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves our world, and we share that gift each and every day. Amen.